In a moment, Lisa will be bringing God's message to us. But before that, Tim Mann is going to come and read to us from the scriptures.
So the reading's taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 49. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said it." And the angel left her. Soon afterwards, Mary got ready and hurried off to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me, that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me." Thanks be to the living God.
Good morning. Am I working? Yeah. It's good to be back. Thank you very much for your prayers for me last week. And many thanks to our amazing team who stepped in at the last minute last Sunday for me and for Chris as well. And also during the week that's just gone. So thank you. It's good to be part of such an incredible team. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word to us. We want to thank you for the light, for the truth, and for the life that it brings to us. And Lord, we pray by your Spirit you will speak to our hearts and our minds. Reveal more of your truth to us. Allow us to draw closer to you, to hear from you, and to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. At a school nativity play, all was going well until the angel appeared and told the little girl playing Mary that she was going to have a baby. "But how can this be?" said Mary, "since I am a Viking." Our reading this morning is probably one of the most well-known in the Bible. We're used to seeing children dressed in costumes retelling the story, though perhaps not the bit about Vikings. Its familiarity to us, though, sometimes perhaps detracts from the fact that in many ways, through this story, we are entering another world. A bit like stepping through the wardrobe into Narnia, there should be much here that is actually unfamiliar to us. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Matthew began his gospel by showing that it is rooted in history. Today, we discover that Luke begins his gospel in a quite unusual way. There are two accounts of angels visiting people with messages. The first we didn't read this morning, and that tells of the angel's visit to Zechariah in the temple. The second was the visit to Mary. Now, as Luke introduces his gospel, he does so in a way which firmly roots it in a supernatural world and in an alien culture. Now, this is especially unusual when we remember that Luke was writing his gospel for a predominantly Gentile audience. Often today, when we talk about communicating the gospel, we think about how we can say things in a way which engages with a particular group of people that we're talking to. And Luke uses that same kind of principle through the rest of his gospel. It's likely that Luke himself wasn't Jewish. And as he writes, he does so in a way that the Gentiles he is addressing might understand better. So why is it then that right at the start of his book, Luke begins in such an uncharacteristic way, revealing this strange biblical world, rather than perhaps playing down the Jewish culture or the supernatural elements of the story to make it more palatable to his readers? The answer is because the apparent trappings are at the very heart of everything that took place. They are, if you like, the elephant in the room. Rather than being avoided, Luke wants to draw attention to the fact that angels, predictions, messages, and miracles are central to the gospel. Now, these are still two of the greatest stumbling blocks to people accepting the gospel today. The gospel involves the supernatural, and it is set in an alien culture. And yet these are not aspects that can be ignored, because they're at the very heart of the gospel. The reading that Tim read for us is more than a story that's reenacted by children in costume. It's an account of God fulfilling his promises to humankind through extraordinary means, breaking into our world supernaturally through the obedience of a young Jewish girl in Nazareth, Galilee. But this doesn't mean to say that to believe in the gospel requires having a kind of blind faith, the alternative being to writing off the gospel as mere fantasy. On the contrary, Mary shows us that having faith involves our whole being. It engages our mind, our heart, and our will. Now, Mary would not have had the same barriers to get through as we do today, but it would be very wrong of us to downplay all that she had to come to terms with. Today, our culture tries to train us not to believe in the supernatural. Miracles do not happen, people say. There's nothing more to this world than what we see and experience. But Mary's culture would have trained her to believe that God could never become a human being. Jews would not even pronounce the name Yahweh, nor would they spell it. Their God, although personal, was not seen to be a being within the universe, but was infinitely transcendent above it. And yet here was an angel announcing to Mary that she was going to give birth to a son, and that he would be the Son of the Most High God. This is a huge hurdle for Mary to get over. It was alien to everything that she had been brought up to believe. And if that wasn't enough, there was also the fact that the angel told her she was about to become pregnant. But Mary doesn't dismiss the angel's words as impossible, nor does she naively believe everything that he said. Mary uses her mind, and she asks the question, How can this be? You see, having faith does not preclude using our minds. God has given us a brain and he expects us to use it. And Mary shows us that choosing to have faith involves thinking. She doubted, she questioned, she reasoned, and she came to faith as she engaged her mind. At first glance, the gospel is pretty inconceivable. Why would God choose to come to earth as a baby? Why would he choose to do this through a teenage girl in Nazareth? Why would he choose to love each one of us and die so that we could spend eternity with God? But having faith does not mean blindly accepting everything we hear. At some point, each one of us needs to step away from the familiarity of the story and say, how can this be? God speaks to our minds just as much as he does to our hearts, and he uses our questions and our doubts to strengthen our faith in him. Mary's question is met by an explanation. The angel tells her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and God's power will rest upon you. Interestingly, the other visit that the angel made, the one to Zechariah, was also met by doubt. But when Zechariah asked a question, the consequence of that was that he was left unable to speak until his son was born. So why was he punished for his doubt, whereas Mary received an explanation? The answer, I think, lies in the motivation behind the question. Mary's question was looking for an answer. She had an open mind and was looking for the truth. Zechariah, on the other hand, was looking for proof. He was using his doubt as a way to protect him from the possibility of being hurt and as a way of staying in control of his life. His doubt was because his mind was closed. Mary's doubt was because her mind was open to all of God's possibilities. Having said that, God still did all that he'd promised to Zechariah, despite the doubt that had been shown. Like Mary, there are times for all of us when we don't understand what is happening, when our doubts cause us to question. But Mary shows us that we can have faith as we bring our questions and doubts to God, and as we keep our minds open to the possibilities that he wants to bring us. Having faith involves engaging our minds. But Mary's response is more than an intellectual exercise. We also see her respond with her heart. After Mary visited her relative Elizabeth, Luke tells us of Mary's song of praise. Mary said, my heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. Mary made a heartfelt response in her faith to all that a God had chosen to do through her. Her song reveals her humility and her sheer joy and amazement that God should choose to use her to fulfill his plan. He's remembered me, she sings. The mighty God has done great things for me. This is one of the greatest mysteries of the gospel. The fact that, like Mary experienced, God has chosen to do great things in us and for us. Now, Mary's experience, of course, was completely unique. And yet there is a sense in which each one of us can know how she feels. Because in accepting Jesus as our Saviour, we are welcoming the living God into our lives. It is our response to his grace that results in God sending his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. How amazing is it that the living God should choose me in my weakness, with all my faults, to welcome me as his child, to surround me with his love, to bless me with his grace, and to work through me to bring in his kingdom. Sometimes I think our familiarity with the gospel can numb us to how incredible that really is. God has chosen us. God loves us. God has a plan for every single one of our lives, a purpose for each one of us, and a future for each one of us. When we step away from the familiarity, when we rediscover afresh how incredible that is, then I think that enables us to step out in our faith and respond in our heart, just as Mary did. Having faith involves responding both with our heart and with our mind. But there's a third dimension to our faith, in that we're also required to respond with our will. Having heard the explanation from the angel of all that was about to take place, Mary answered with these very famous words, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. A simple response in which Mary gave her all to enable God's will to be done. Now, Mary wasn't daft. I think her initial response to the angel has shown that she had a very inquiring mind, and she was clearly thinking through what was going on. She had no idea what would follow in her life after surrendering like that to God. But what she would certainly have known was that she wasn't choosing an easy path. The fact that she was about to become pregnant before she was married would make her life more than complicated. She would certainly be seen as a disgrace in her community. She may well end up being excommunicated, or even worse. And yet she chose to say, "I am the Lord's servant. Whatever that means I have to experience, then I choose to accept it." This response that Mary chose to make is essentially the choice that we all make when we step out in faith and choose to entrust our whole lives to God. It's a choice that we know will lead to us spending eternity in his presence, surrounded by the good things that God intended our world to be filled with, and free from the pain and the suffering that we have to face in this day and age. But it's also a choice, just like Mary's choice, where we won't know the details of everything that lies ahead. What we do know is that God never promised that in choosing to trust in him, our life will be free from pain and struggles and problems and only full of happiness. If anything, the Bible shows us that choosing to step out in faith and trust God will make our lives much harder. Stepping into God's plan is not like stepping into Elton John's Christmas song, where we watch the snow fall, where we eat and drink, where we have fun forever. Stepping into God's plan, although it ultimately leads to God's abundant blessing, can often be a very tough way to live, because surrendering completely to his will means choosing to trust him through all of the difficulties and the challenges that we face. Pastor and author Tim Keller recalls a Christian conference that he went to once, and it was about learning to live doing God's will rather than doing our own will. And he was really taken back when the speaker of the conference put two questions to the audience. The first question was, are you willing to obey anything the Bible clearly says to do, whether you like it or not? The second was, are you willing to trust God in anything he sends into your life, whether you understand it or not? Challenging questions, but questions which to this day he believes are relevant. Questions that bring home the heart of Mary's response. Questions that I think present each one of us with a challenge. So let me ask you to reflect on those questions today. Are you willing to obey anything the Bible clearly says to do, whether you like it or not? And are you willing to trust God in anything he sends into your life, whether you understand it or not? It is challenging, but that's where faith really comes into being. And as we consider our answers, let me remind you that when we choose to step out in faith with our mind, our heart and our will, when we choose to entrust the whole of our lives to the living God, then we can be absolutely confident that he will be with us every second of every day, whether life is full of joy or whether we're experiencing the deepest pain. More than that, he will give us the strength to cope with everything we experience, and he will do more in us and through us than we can ever imagine. It's not an easy way, as Mary found, but it is by far the most fulfilling life. And we can be assured that God will never let us down, and we can never outdo all that he has done for us. A Christian author tells the fable of an old king who went into the village to greet his subjects. A beggar sitting by the roadside eagerly held up his alms bowl. He was sure the king would give generously to him. Instead, the king asked the beggar to give him something. Taken aback, the beggar fished three grains of rice from his bowl and he dropped them into the king's outstretched hand. When, at the end of the day, the beggar poured out what he'd received, he found to his astonishment three grains of pure gold in the bottom of his bowl. He cried out in a loud voice, "Oh, that I had given him my all! Oh, that I had given him my all!" So let me encourage you this morning, not just to step into Christmas in this Advent time, but to choose to step out in faith, engaging your mind, responding in your heart, and surrendering your will. Come to God with your questions and your doubts, and look expectantly for him to meet you in them. Remember afresh the joy and the privilege that it is to be chosen by the living God, to be welcomed as his child, to receive the gift of his Spirit, and to be empowered to continue his mission in the world. Surrender your life once again, recognizing that faith means entrusting our life completely to him, even when we don't understand, but knowing that he will always be with us and will do more in and through us than we can ever ask or imagine. For there is nothing that God cannot do. Let's take a moment of silence and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today, and thank you for the example that Mary was to us in her faith. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that you will help us to respond in faith to you. Lord, for those of us that have questions and doubts in our lives, where things have happened that we just don't understand and we can't make sense of, and we're struggling to find you in the midst of them. Lord, help us to come to you and bring our questions and doubts, and to wait expectantly for you to meet us in that place. Lord, for each of us, help us to rediscover afresh the joy that it means to be a child of the living God, to be loved and accepted by you, and to have you living in our lives. And Lord, I pray too that you'll give each one of us the courage to surrender our will, to trust you in the good times and the bad times, to choose to say, we are your servant, and allow your will to be done in and through us, that your kingdom might come and your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.